Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 6. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
We're going to take our Bibles at this time and we're going to go over to the book of John and chapter 6. And as we turn there, it's an interesting thing to note from my perspective that this is pretty much on the same timeline as our study is in the book of Luke. It's talking about the time around the Passover, and being that we just talked about the time of the Passover last week, this is pretty much right around that time, although it is a few days earlier. But in the book of John and chapter 6, we want to look at the first few verses. It's a long chapter. We're going to hopscotch through it. And part of the reason we're looking at it is because this is Labor Day weekend. And that being the case, I wanted to talk to you today about the work of God. You see, God has a work. And as you think about God's work, we sang about it when we sing, "There is a fountain filled with blood." And all of those verses have to do with the work of God, what He does in saving us, what He does after saving us, putting a song in our heart, and turning us into His new creations. So in chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles." Underline that if you are prone to do so. "They saw His miracles, which He did on them which were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh." So you see our connective to our study. And it says, "When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are these among so many?" Now, you got to look at that, just kind of chuckle, because we've read this before. We know what Jesus is going to do. In fact, the next verse is going to show us what He does. We're not going to read all of it. But what I did with these verses is I set up the context. And the two things you need to know is there's going to be this little bit of a collision that takes place here. One is the miracles, and they're going to run headlong into a specific miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. This is a chapter where Jesus demonstrates how He works. It's sort of long-form narrative. And when you look at this, what you're going to see is that Jesus actually begins to take upon Himself a battle that He knows has to come. This is getting close to the end of His ministry. Much of the Lord's ministry took place up in the region of Galilee, the northern parts of the nation of Israel. So what I'm saying to you is that we're seeing Jesus kind of closing down that chapter. Because the Passover was nigh. He's going to go down to Jerusalem. He's going to go in on the triumphal entry. He's going to be crucified. It's getting really close to that terminal hour. So what He does is, with all these people that are following Him, He begins to move toward them a little bit more aggressively to get them to commit, to get them to come across the line. You and I are living in a day right now that coincides a lot with this. If this is indeed kind of a terminal hour in our country, and I frankly believe it very well may be, what I'm seeing is that people are beginning to pick and choose what they want about God. They're becoming a little bit more deliberate in their mind's eye about what they like about God and what they don't like. What they like is they like the promises that we win. They like to say, "We've read the Bible and we win." But they're not so keen on coming across the line and saying, "I love the Lord Jesus. I will take the Lord Jesus. Listen, come what may." You see, the true believer doesn't really put any conditions on God, because God is so gracious that He saves us in the first place. We understand that. He does a work in our hearts. We receive His grace. We receive His mercy. And when we, in fact, do have His blessing in our lives, others see it, because it's going to be all over us. It reminds me of that passage where Jeremiah was going to be anointed by the prophet. I think it was Elijah. He walked in. He says, he's got this man. They're all standing around, soldiers. And he takes him into the room and he pours oil all over him. And after he tells him he's going to be anointed king for the northern kingdom, he bolts out the door, Elijah does, but here's Jeroboam. He walks out and all of his buddies are looking at him and they're like, wait, you got oil all over you. What's going on? But when you get a dose of Jesus, he's all over you. People see that. Something happened. And now I know. He touched me and he made me whole. I'm telling you guys, Jesus changes us when we know him. And that's what Jesus is after in these people. In fact, after Jesus had actually fed all of these 5,000 at this time, they gathered together all of the fragments. It was a thing that just kind of blew everybody away. It was like, what did he just do? And verse 14 says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Now, the key to understanding this verse is understanding it says that prophet. Moses wrote in the law that there's going to arise another prophet after me, and he'll be like unto me. Him shall you hear. These guys are saying what Jesus wanted them to say. This surely is that prophet that is to come. And here he is, and they're getting it. Now, what happens next is very interesting. Jesus, in verse 15, it says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Now, what ends up happening at this point is another oddity in the narrative. Jesus goes up into a mountain to pray. The disciples are down by the shoreline. And it seems after sunset, they take off and a bunch of wind comes. And Jesus is not with them. And there are people who've just been fed and they're really, really happy about being fed. In fact, that was great. We didn't have to do what? Anything for that food. Now, if you can't feel me right now already, where I'm going with this, we're living in a day where we got a whole host of people who just don't go back to work. I've gone to places, they're open 3 or 4 hours. I went to a sandwich store on Wednesday up in Cleveland. I went in there and they were closing at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They just couldn't get workers. Panera Bread across town, they're rarely open. Every now and then they'll get a crew that they can open their dining room area, and that's a big draw for Panera. I mean, that's people like to go in there. It's a nice atmosphere, but they've had to shut it down because they can't man that post. And we've got other places. I just read an article about Five Guys Burgers, and they're saying they're going to close. It was a national story that many of them are closing. So I just thought, wow, that's another one biting the dust, right? We're living in a day where we like the free bread. Bread and loaves for the masses, right? That's how you keep the masses inoculated. This was a Roman kind of a thing back in the days. They would give people entertainment in the streets and loaves and bread and all the things that they needed. Well, people like the free meal. And that can be problematic. And I'm not talking about people who can't work, okay? Come on now. Let's stay focused, all right? I'm just talking about people who aren't working, and it's because it's expedient for them. It's easy not to work, perhaps, now because there's all these things that are being given. I've come to understand that families that have kids not only get certain monies, but also get certain money for each kid. And these are families that are intact with a dad who can work and will work and does work, but they get it anyway. I know one family that's sending it back. They said they wrote in, said, I don't need it. Don't be sending it. I don't want it. And somehow they were able to turn it off. But this is unusual, right? What is this? This is exciting. Man, we get a big check in the mail. And we can get our bread and we can get our food. And don't worry about the small businessman. Now, I'm talking on Labor Day, why I amplify this a little bit. We need to understand, this is a weird day, right? This is not like America. America, we're made up of entrepreneurs. We're made up of people who are shakers and movers. We're made up of people who have a go-to attitude. But right now, we've been put under a spell of some sort. We've been made afraid of our environment. We've been made happy with the handouts. People who one time would not have wanted anything now are like, wow, that was pretty nice. We were able to do X, Y, and Z. And some people, they took their money and they bought supplies, which might not be a bad idea for in case the world goes upside down because the economy topples. You say, well, that can't happen. Well, that's what I would say. You would need to read your Bible and find out when people say it can't happen. It's probably about the time it's going to happen because they're talking about it. It happened in Jerusalem. If you want to read it, and we might refer to it in a minute. But in Ezekiel chapter 32, you can read when Jerusalem fell. Ezekiel 32, word came to Ezekiel, the city is smitten. It's done. Okay, it had to be preached for 31 chapters. And when it came, it fell in a devastating fashion. And then Ezekiel was able to speak for the first time overtly and consistently before the people who were already in bondage. Interestingly enough, in that situation, those people were constantly saying it could never happen, and they were already in Babylon. Okay, these are people who are not even getting a clue. Your house is lost, your land is lost, you're not there anymore, but you keep thinking nothing can happen while Rome is burning. Rome is burning right now, okay? It really is. And we need to be serious-minded in these days. The Bible says that these disciples got on the waters in the Sea of Galilee there. They left at evening, it says in verse 16, and they entered into the ship and they went across the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. You guys remember this, right? This is where Jesus comes along. The Bible says, so when they rowed about 25 to 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. Now, the stories are very fluid in your mind, perhaps, because this is one of those it's hard to forget. You've heard this story about Jesus walking on the water. But the funny thing is, the Bible says in verse 20, Jesus said unto them, "It is I, be not afraid," and they willingly received him. Well, we see Jesus getting on this boat and they go on their way. The Bible says in verse 22, it says, the day following, when the other people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save the one whereinto the disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into that boat, but the disciples were gone away alone. And let me just say, I'm going to iron this out. He went over to the west side, he came back to the east side, and when he did it, there were people watching very closely. Not everybody, but there was a good enough crowd watching that they knew Jesus didn't go in that boat. But the next morning, he's nowhere to be found. They realize he's somewhere else, and they're going over, and they find him. Now, when they find Jesus, they come up to him a little miffed. You know, this is their day. They just got fed yesterday, and they're wondering what's for breakfast. I mean, that's what's really going on here. Where's Jesus? And the Bible says when they found him in verse 25 on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, "Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" Now, the Bible says Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled." There's a big gap between his answer and the question. And the reason we know that is because if you let your eye fall into the passage down to verse 59, the Bible says, "These things said he," this is summing up everything Jesus said, "these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum." So it seems like they just find him, they ask him the question, and he puts it on hold, almost like, "I'm not going to answer you." Now listen, how does God work? Well, part of the way God works is he is one who will be found if we'll seek him, and they found him. But they came with the wrong attitude right away, right? Where did you go? It's almost like they're saying, "Why didn't you let us know? You didn't leave a memo." God does not pander to you and me. He woos, he loves, and if we respond, he continues more aggressively, and he will give you more light. But when you begin to superimpose on God what you want him to be, things get a little bit dicey there. And this is not uncommon in the Corinthians letter. Paul said to the Corinthians, "I'm afraid of you. If somebody brings you another spirit, another Jesus, another gospel, I'm afraid you'll tolerate that." He says, "But I get no love from you." He says, "But you would take another Jesus." You know, there's many Jesuses. There's the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Jesus of the Catholic Church. There's the Jesus of the Adventists, of the Scientologists. There's all these Jesuses. What I'm saying is there are many Jesuses out there, and we have to be mindful that we listen to who he is, watch who he is, see who he is, and understand who he is, because God is in the business of trying to reveal himself to us, but he will not force people whose hearts are not willing to receive the truth as it comes.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.